Hey guys, Tom Laird, voice of advice from a call center geek, CEO at Expedia. Hey, the podcast is brought to you by Expedia Interaction Marketing. We are a 600-seat call center outsourcer. I would love to talk to any of you looking to outsource any of your customer support or your sales functions, looking for political calling or just some extra overflow during the holiday season. If you are looking for any type of USA outsourcing support, hit me up. You guys know my LinkedIn. I'd love to talk.
This is Advice from a Call Center Geek, a weekly podcast with a focus on all things call center. We'll cover it all from call center operations, hiring, culture, technology, and education. We're here to give you actionable items to improve the quality of yours and your customers' experience. This is an evolving industry with creative minds and ambitious people like this guy. Not only is his passion call center operations, but he's our host. He's the CEO of Expedia Interaction Marketing Group and the call center geek himself, Tom Laird.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Advice from a Call Center Geek, the call center and contact center podcast. We try to give you some actionable items to take back in your contact center, improve the overall quality, improve your agent experience, hopefully improve your customer experience as well. I hope everybody had an amazing Thanksgiving. We're kind of rolling on here towards the big holiday of Christmas. I wanted to, again, talk about maybe the bridge between actual contact center operations and AI. I'm again, as I've been kind of talking about, I think all of us are getting kind of AI'd out, and there's kind of getting so much repetitive information that a lot of it right now isn't very new, and it's kind of getting boring. So I'm getting a lot of questions from smaller contact centers, because I think with our auto QA product, we've been kind of talking a lot about smaller, you know, under 100 seat, 25 seat, 10 seat, 75 seat, you know, this under 100 seat contact center world. I think it's opened up a lot of really interesting conversations with a lot of you out there that, like, you feel like you're kind of being kind of left out of the loop with a lot of things that enterprise technology wants to, you know, give to some of the bigger contact centers. A lot of you as well try to jump on some technology that maybe you don't need. Maybe you're spending things and you have a salesperson in your ear, you know, talking about, hey, we have this tool, we have this, you got to have this. This is what everybody's getting. And I want to kind of clear through all that, push it to the side and say, what are the real tools that you need from a utilitarian kind of, I got to set my contact center up, I got to have these to be, you know, kind of in the game, to kind of moving to more luxury tools that maybe if you have budget to purchase in a 2024, 2025. But my goal is not here to sell technology. My goal here is really to tell you what technology you need or don't need, in my opinion, from the consulting side. So I want to kind of get into that. And hopefully, again, if you guys have any questions on this and you see me live here on LinkedIn, please ask away. The biggest question that always happens is, you know, what, let's just talk about the platforms. And I think that there's a huge discrepancy on what you need depending on the size of your contact center. And I don't think that that's rocket science or that's not really anything that you didn't know, but there's a huge sliding scale on this. A lot of small contact centers, like if you're on a micro, like say you have 10 seats, you may not need any type of major CCaaS platform, right? That you're gonna pay, you know, anywhere from, I don't know, say $150 to $250 a month per agent. There's a lot of really good UCaaS, right? Unified Communications as a Service platforms that you can utilize kind of as your contact center if you are smaller and you don't need a lot of the bells and whistles, and you can do that stuff on the, you know, super cheap, like under $40 a month kind of thing. With some of this, you can get some basic contact center features to, like there may be an additional add-on for a skills-based routing kind of piece within your UCaaS. Like you can kind of play around a little bit. Understandably, it's going to be a little bit more stringent in how you can use it, right? Where, you know, the big platforms are just, there's crazy amounts of things you can do. But for, if you're 10 seats and under, you really just need somebody to take, you know, take voice, maybe take email, maybe have a chat slapped on there, right? And if you're 10 seats and you're doing all three, that's probably a lot. If you're just doing one or the other, it's a no-brainer that really that's all you need. If you're getting over 25, you're getting into the 50s, and then especially if you're over 50 seats and you are a contact center and you're doing customer service work, you're doing sales work, and we're talking mostly inbound here, then that's when you're going to look to go to a real CCaaS provider. You guys know I did a podcast about 3 or 4 episodes ago as well on kind of my favorite CCaaS providers. I'm not going to get into that today. If you have any questions on that, please feel free to ask me. I'd be more than happy to help you or kind of guide you on that. That's when I think you got to get into, for sure, skills-based routing. You're going to probably look to do some more integration work. You need some better dashboards. You need the better reporting, looking at service levels, looking at handle times, looking at specific agent statistics and KPIs. They're going to do a much better job in the CCaaS world than on the UCaaS world with a lot of those kind of ancillary reporting and those kind of things. I think that's one of the biggest differences. The UCaaS guys, they can still integrate with anything, right? So the integration stuff, that still kind of comes into play with both of them. But, you know, when you talk about real skills-based routing, even going beyond that, you know, having an IVR, those type of tools, you know, that's when you really got to, you know, really look to look at the cloud CCaaS providers. In my opinion, I would never look at a on-prem solution in 2023, 2024. I think on-prem is dead, in my opinion, from a new purchase. And I know there's a lot of legacy. A lot of you guys are still out there looking that were on a on-prem. You know, moving into AI, and I'm not saying there's not ways to do it. It's much easier, right, for these newer technologies if you're connecting to things that are in the cloud. All right, I get into a lot of arguments with this, but if you are under 50 seats, I don't think that you should spend one dime on workforce management. I really don't, especially if you're 25 seats and under, then it's almost always no, don't spend money on that. Go spend your budget on something else. I have done a really awesome, and if you guys want it, I can send it to you if you ask, a robust Erlang C calculator. If you don't know what an Erlang C calculator is, it's basically the calculation how we do staffing and taking into account shrinkage and taking into account handle time and service levels and kind of that math that goes into that so that you can see how many agents you need per interval. There's a ton of them that are online. That's all you need. If you get into the point where you're 50, 75, getting into that world, then it's a discussion. I don't think that everybody, I still don't think you have to have it, but it becomes the ROI on that, I think, starts to make a little bit more sense when you're above 50 and you're closer to 100 seats to have workforce management, to have people be able to trade their shift, to be able to see schedule adherence, all of those types of things. But I still think you can get away without it. Once you're over 100, you have to have it. I mean, or things get really confusing pretty quickly with how you're scheduling and staffing. And I think if you're over 100 seats as well, your volume dictates that you need to be able to forecast that out. And that's another tool that, you know, comes with all the really cool workforce management platforms, is you get to forecast. So I think that's another deal. All right, QA. You are, again, I think under 100 seats, especially under 50, I don't think that you have to have a quality assurance platform that's tied into your, you know, CCaaS that you can utilize. Now, it's cool. I think it's a bonus. But if we're on a budget here, as of right now, I think that there's a lot of options out there, but you can just set some things up in Excel, right? If you're that kind of bare bones, that will work relatively well, especially if you're under 50 seats. If you start to get more higher up, 50 or more, it does get a little bit more difficult to make sure that, you know, you're keeping tabs and the reporting aspect of how you're scoring kind of comes into play. But there's a lot of contact centers I know that are doing it. And again, I'm going to cheat plug this right now. You know, our auto QA platform, we are focused just on contact centers that are under 100 seats that are using Excel spreadsheets or Google Sheets. We're using ChatGPT to fully automate your QA process. So if we're doing that now, there's going to be a lot of tools out there that are going to be extremely inexpensive that you're going to be able to use AI. I will tell you right now, you could do this on your own. You could go just to the desktop version of ChatGPT, and preferably ChatGPT-4, right? Pay the $20 and take your form, take a transcript, throw it out there, have ChatGPT go score your calls, right? That's how we started this whole thing. And you'll be able to start to tweak and kind of see how you can do some really cool things and how you can scale quickly your QA platform or your QA scoring. So again, that's one of the, I've been saying it's one of the low hanging fruits when it comes to CX. QA, I still said, I probably am a little bit wrong here. I said by the end of 2023, that scoring of QA calls is going to be totally gone, totally automated. I think I'm a year off or maybe 8 months off. I fully think that our auto QA, once we launch here in probably the next 3 or 4 weeks with our beta, is going to just wipe away anybody that wants to or needs to do Excel. It's going to be just a better platform. And instead of taking 15 minutes, you can take 20 seconds, right? Again, I'm not getting into the auto stuff. I kind of already did, but really cool stuff that I think AI is taking control there, and the costs of that are coming way down. The other thing I think that you do need is some type of knowledge management or some type of KMS. This is another tool that you can use with ChatGPT. If you have the kind of the paid version, you can create your own GPTs. You can upload, all of your training documents, every single thing to do with pricing and all the information about your product or your service. And it basically becomes like a ChatGPT or a Google search just based on your information, which is pretty cool. But there's a lot of companies that are out there that are very inexpensive. Worst case, have a SharePoint, have something like that your agents can get information that they don't have to, talk to you or talk to the supervisor as well. That's something here. And just quick question here on LinkedIn. You made an interesting comment about inbound. I run a contact center that is community or portal first. We are smaller, under 50 seats. We are providing application support. We're using Teams for video calls with the customers. We have not pushed CCaaS, but I miss the technology and some of the functionality. My question is more around the need of a CCaaS, given the more complex, lower volume we are engaged in. Is it needed? Chris, that's a great question. And I don't think complexity of problem has to do too much with if you go UCaaS or if you went to a CCaaS provider. Now, all of your UCaaS, I'll tell you, at Expedia, we use Nextiva for our office phones, right? Basically our UCaaS platform. So just internal calls, somebody calls the office and they need to, ring someone's extension. Nextiva we're not even close to using it. I don't really need to, but full integrations with Teams, full integration with a ton of different CRMs. They also have their own kind of smaller type contact center stuff too, that you can get with that. I think it is more size, scope, and then what do you need to do with calls? So when it comes to, because integrations, I think you're fine. But when it comes to routing of calls, when it comes to reporting, right? Reporting is a huge aspect of where the CCaaS world is, from real time to historical. But if you're using it with Teams, everyone is going to be able to integrate from the UCaaS or CCaaS side is going to be able to integrate with Teams. Fully multi-channel, say omni-channel, multi-channel in my world is kind of annoyingly the same thing. So yeah, I mean, I hope that answers that question. Again, I think we discount, and I probably do too, we discount what the UCaaS guys can do. There's so much that, they're getting so technologically advanced that it just really becomes more to, again, reporting and those kind of things. And then if you want to move to really cool things, like if you want to have workforce management, if you want to have analytics, I think that's, that's where you would want to say, hey, yeah, we want to go CCaaS. Yeah. And again, Chris, so his kind of follow-up is, they're fully remote when it comes to seeing who's logged in and their status, you can't. And that's the biggest piece of it. Again, I would talk to, and I don't know who you're using just Teams, but even the smaller UCaaS guys, that'll be cheap, right? That'll be maybe anywhere from 20 to 40 bucks, depending on what you do per month per agent. A lot of them have a smaller kind of slap-on contact center, small piece, right? So it's not this full robust contact center, but enough where you'd be able to see agents and see what they're doing, getting service level, average handle time, like really basic stuff that you can see from a dashboard, at least see where they're logged in. So again, I hope that helps. That's a great question. Appreciate that. It fits perfectly in with kind of what we're talking about today. And I think that there's a lot of confusion in that. What do we do? Do I need this? Do I need that? So again, thank you. Appreciate you. Again, if you want to get into, like I just said, to the cooler tools, some of the UCAS guys will talk about analytics and they'll say they have it. I think it's kind of very light. I would say it's analytics light. If you want to get into something deeper, you really need to get into that CCAS world as well. The other thing that I would say that every single contact center needs, no matter your size, is a CRM. And there's a lot of questions on what CRM do we get? And I would tell you, I love for if you are super small, 10 seats, 15 seats, 7 seats, you know, the Zohos, the Zendesks of the world are very inexpensive, very much easier to use. I think can add a lot to what you want to do. You don't have to have like a full-born programmer like you really do for Salesforce to get anything out of it. You know, you can create your own kind of GUIs as well. Like we have done that for some specific clients, especially on the outbound side. We'll have a database, have a GUI that we can make outbound calls, type back into that, kind of make sure that we keep update to notes. But for most of you, that's what you're going to need. There's also some really small, when we first started, this is like 2010, and I think they're still around. I loved it. It was called like, no, this isn't a CRM or this is not a real CRM. Like that was the name of the company. And I'm probably doing them a disservice, but it was some kind of funny name like that. And it was really just really basic, like name, address, phone number, notes. You could just like slide them into categories. Like it was, you could have a sales one where it'd be like, hey, just notify the client. Hey, they're in contract. Hey, they're in here. Or you could just use it as kind of an inbound customer service, very basic, just name, notes. And for a lot of contact centers, that's really all you need. Now, again, if you're getting 50, 75, 100 seats, a little bit more higher volume, yeah, you're going to need something that is a little bit more robust. And again, I'm not going to get into things like how you can auto write and integrate into it, but I think that that's where, again, no matter what, Zoho, Zendesk, Salesforce, any CRM you have, UCAS or CCAS, you can fully integrate. You can do screen pops. You can do those kind of things. That's the other thing that I think is a for sure that you need. When you talk about computers, like I get that question a lot too. Like, hey, what computers do you buy? What computers do we need? And for us, we have found that initially, let's talk about what we did before and now what we're doing now, is we would go purchase a lot of times like 23-inch all-in-one refurbished Lenovos. Like that's kind of our house computer. There's a bunch of websites there that you could purchase them, again, that were like a year out refurbished. So we would end up paying like $399 or $499 a computer. They would last like 3 or 4 years. They were great, hardworking machines. Love those. But what we have found recently is we've gotten into Chrome OS. So Chrome OS is basically the operating system that we're moving all of our agents to. So we're either buying Chrome boxes or Chromebooks and then having a monitor kind of slapped onto it. And those things are dirt cheap too, right? So $299 or $399 bucks, kind of all depending. So they're almost at cheaper or as cheap, as inexpensive as the Lenovos, but they're brand new. And then we have much more control over, and again, don't need to be I'm a huge fan of the Chrome OS operating system. I can't recommend it enough for anybody's contact center. The ease of use of it, the amount of security, it takes away all of you don't need enterprise virus protection, right? It takes away all your security aspects. You can fully lock it down. It's awesome. And you can even see where the actual computer's at. Like you can see if they're at like Starbucks taking calls. You can see there's no more, hey, my internet's out, because you can see if their internet is actually up or not based on, you know, logging into their system. And that's the other thing, the logging in and logging out of the actual computer, you don't need a third party for that either. So it kind of, for one price of like $5 a month, right? Yeah, I think so, because it's $60 a license per year. You get enterprise virus protection, you'd be able to log in remotely. You can lock the machine down. You get all these kind of other kind of really cool tools. That's kind of what we do. I don't think you should be paying, unless your company is flush with cash, you know, paying $1,000 or $1,200 for a computer for the agents. I think that there's a lot of ways that you don't need to do that and get the same kind of bang for your buck with it as well. Headsets is a culture thing, I think. There's a lot of really expensive, awesome headsets. You know, we normally buy, you know, be in the world of anywhere from $25 to $50, depending on what is honestly for sale on Amazon at the time. We also, though, have about three headsets that our agents, our reps have approved. So we would never go out and just buy a headset and say, here's your new headsets. They'd be like, dude, if they haven't approved them, you're in for a world of pain. So we just kind of say, hey, here's five headsets. What ones do you guys like? You know, they'll normally pick two or three of them, and we'll just get an assortment of those. But again, when it comes to headsets, if you have people in the office, when it comes to chairs, make sure you get a buy-in from the agents with that as well. Or you will be in a world of pain. And then again, it just depending on what you need. If you have just the Windows machines, you got to make sure that you have data security. You have to make sure that you have a way to keep updates updated on your system. You have to have virus protection. You have to be able to really lock the machine down. I don't care if you're 5 seats, 10 seats, 20 seats. You need to have that security kind of protocols in play. If I was starting if somebody said, hey, Tom, I want to pay you money. Can you set me up? I want a basic 10-seat, 20-seat contact center. Right, I'd be looking at, do we need CCAS or UCAS? So I'm going to try to spend the most amount of money on the platform, right? My budget is going mostly towards that. I'm going to say I don't need workforce management. I'm going to use AI for quality assurance. So I'm going to have very little to that, but I'm going to be able to scale that very quickly. I'm going to have questions about, do we need analytics or not? That's going to play into our UCAS or CCAS. I'm going to get a Zoho, a Zendesk CRM and start to be able to build that out. We can talk about the operating system that we want to go to. If we want to use Windows or we want to use a Chrome OS, I can work in either of those worlds for about the same price. I think the Chrome OS is where I would push the company towards. And then we would be getting those $20 to $30 headsets. And if I have Chrome OS, I don't need to worry about anything else. But if I have a Windows machine, then we got to have, you know, virus protection. We got to be able to lock the machine down. We have to be able to be remote into the computer as well. So those would be my for sure must-haves. And then if you were telling me, hey, we've got to do a 50-seat or higher, can you set my center up? Yep, I'm going the best CCAS platform for us. I'm getting analytics, workforce management. It better be part of the platform that I'm doing. From a quality assurance standpoint, I'm either going to utilize that platform that they have, or I'm still going to probably do the AI route because I can scale that much cheaper and do many more in the time period. Again, like I said, I would get analytics. I'm over 50 seats. Then again, this is not an AI conversation, but then we can really start to talk about some other tools. Like, do we have budget for agent assist? What are we doing from a self-service standpoint? Right. I think some of those things come into play a little bit more. Maybe not. Maybe that's not true. I mean, I guess if you are smaller, you may want some more extra self-service as well. It's very difficult to get in any type of AI, generative chatbot with the providers of today, just from an ROI standpoint, right? Because it's crazy expensive at this second to do things on a smaller scale. Now that will all be coming down. Not to say you can't find it, but you know, the main players in the space have crazy high minimums and the cost per call is still pretty high. The technology is cool, but you're going to pay for it. So again, that's why I haven't really included too much of that. Other than, you know, you can do some basic self-service stuff, basic chatbot stuff. And then again, like I said, with the computers and the headsets, what we would kind of do. So that's kind of how I would set that up. The stuff that I think that you guys need. Integrations are always coming to play. Integrations are the easiest thing ever, right? They stress people out the most, but if you have a cloud, anything, UCAS, CCAS, you have any type of CRM that has open APIs, then if you can't do it yourself from a professional services standpoint, that's one of the easiest things to integrate with. So it is something you don't need to stress out about. I don't even almost include it in here because I'm just assuming that you're going to have that integrated. Again, for even if you have no idea what you're doing, for a couple $1,000s, if not a couple $100s, depending on what is pre-built already, you know, you can get a full integration with your deal. And if you can't do it that cheap, then come talk to me. I'll make sure that we can do it for you for that cheap. So I hope that helps you guys. Again, something a little different. I'm going to keep until the end of the year kind of getting off the AI deal and then probably go full bore again as we launch Auto QA and talk more about AI in the first quarter of 2024. But again, Chris, thanks for joining. Thanks for the question. Hopefully that helped you as well too. And I'll talk to all you guys next week.